World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, hang on there with me, man. I'm a work in progress here this morning down in New Orleans. You guys caught me in my fake dollar store glass. These are 1.75 plastic. I got so many glasses. I try to wear the clear ones. I don't know why I just wear the clear ones so it doesn't look so noticeable, like I'm some kind of geek on TV. But so you caught me today in my 1.75 dollar store glasses. We're down in New Orleans. I'm a little bit weary, to be honest with you. Excited to be here. We had a great time with the Socias. You guys, you know, you don't really know people till you're around people. You know what I'm talking about? And every time I'm around Dale and Michelle and his family, it's really, really good. And we got a chance yesterday to speak at his church. And you know what was really, really important for me? This some of you will understand this, some of you won't. Is my wife got away for a couple of days. And those of you who know Michelle, she's the Energizer bunny, constantly gone. So she's been down there for 2.5 days and she didn't have to wash any clothes or mop any floors or cook any meals or wash any dishes or be a grandma. So it's been a really, really good time of refreshing. And I said this publicly yesterday about Dale. You know, you can judge most of us by looking at our children. And I was really struck yesterday again as in the service. Dale's family's involved in the service, man. His daughter's singing, his son's playing drums, another son's playing two sons playing guitars. And they serve the Lord. So it's been a good time of refreshing for us. Michelle and I catch a plane here in about I'm all screwed up with time. Catch a plane here in about 3 hours. So we'll try to do the best job we can here this morning. I'm going to flip the thing over and let you look at Dale. You guys never get a chance to tell him, see Dale live. Go ahead, Dale.
Normally I'm sitting over in the chair there with a cup of coffee, still in my pajamas. And I said, you don't want to see this. Not that this is any better. I just threw some clothes on because I knew that he was going to do something like this. But hey, everybody, up. It's me in the flesh. Walking in the spirit, though. We had a great time. We love Coach. You know, I think one of the good things for Coach is he came into a church where the people are awakened. Nobody in my church was ever jabbed. They're informed. They share. They interact. Once again, like what Coach does here in the show, it changed my preaching method probably 5-7 years ago. That it happened yesterday. Wayne, hey, I want to share this. You know, the people in the congregation, when I'm sharing a passage of scripture, they get a revelation. They raise their hand just like we do in the show, and they say, hey, man, the Lord showed me this and this, and it's like a big Bible study on a Sunday morning. All
Amen.
Right, back
Amen.
To you.
That's the way it's supposed to roll, right? The way it's supposed to roll. Hey, Spencer, real quickly, I've been doodling over here on the side while Dale's doing that. I sent you a few pictures. Folks, do you guys really know what a crawfish is? Spencer, pull up that last one that I just did. This is the crawfish boil. They call them fish. They ain't fish. And I can't for the life of me, as I'm cracking those things open to eat them, I'm thinking, who would have ever in the right mind ever done this? So Dale did a presidential pardon of the fish, crawfish. So let's play that real quick here, Dale.
Hey, how you doing? This is Pastor Dale Socia. So every year in November, the President of the United States pardons a turkey at the White House. So I'm here to tell you this morning, we're doing a pastoral pardon of this little crawfish dude right here. We do things southern like. So this is a pastoral pardon for this guy right here. Now, whether he makes it out in the wilderness or not, I don't know, but we're gonna pardon him today. God bless y'all.
And we didn't eat that one. We ate most of them. Hey, Spencer, just again, for those people who don't really know, that's crawfish. All right. So I came to New Orleans a few years ago. I didn't have any. I mean, I'd heard of crawfish and crawfish boil. So how many pounds?
200.
200 pounds of these things yesterday. They boiled. They put them in a big tub, took several big tubs, and they light fire underneath it and boil it and cook it. And they come out, then they're done like that. And then you got to take them out. You got to break them apart and suck out. I mean, it's pretty gross, man. And so I go back to the same question, is who's the first guy to ever do that? See, look at that. These people, they think it's normal. I think it's normal. You put a bowl of them in front of a 6-year-old kid. He's opening them up and eating them. I think, yeah, he's eating criminy. So I told my wife last night, I said, I'd have eaten a lot more of those if I didn't have to look at them. I didn't know what I was doing.
Your wife is Michelle squealed. So Michelle, his wife, because my wife is Michelle. Chad's wife's Michelle. But she picks it up. She drops. She squeals. I said, what's the matter? She goes, it's looking at me. Rip his head off, because that's what you do anyway. But here, I just want to let you know, most people don't realize it's not like it's just some Billy Bob goes down into a mud hole and pulls these things out. They actually have what's called crawfish farms that they grow these crawfish in. And like this guy did 200 pounds for us, but he probably did several hundred pounds that day. That's all they do. Is these crawfish are grown in there. And so if something's living in the water, you call it a fish. These live in water, so they're just, and they crawl, and they're called crawfish.
But they ain't no fish. And they do crawl because they're trying to get away from it because they know they're about to be eaten. Yeah, Angie, not food. Boy, we could get in an argument over that one, whether we're whether it's healthy, whether it's, you know, violates dietary laws. Look, I'm going to move on. I'm not going to talk about crawfish all day, but it's just part of the experience. It's really, really, I mean, it's unbelievable that these little kids know how to eat these crawl. I call them crawl dads. In Ohio, they're gray or white, not white, tan. How'd I get on this? How'd I get off of this thing? Crazy world going on, folks. And, you know, I haven't done as much prep for the show this morning as I normally do, just because I've been on vacation and kind of want to open it up here a little bit to what's on your mind. I want to throw a couple things at you real quick. Pull up, first of all, natural. I'm working off two devices here. Bear with me, okay? Natural Family Strong Month. Pull that up there for me, Spence, if you can. Let me get over and see how I can get on. Oh, I'm so lost here this morning. Because if I click this, oh, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. All right, good. Natural Family Strong Month. Remember that, all right? And order those signs. And the ordering and all that stuff there. This is, again, this is a great opportunity for us from a grassroots point of view to really get the word out about exactly what's going on. There's where you order the signs, and they'll give them to you in a couple days. And like I said, go to your church, go to your friends, try to say, hey, I got a sign for you. We put this out in your yard and promote Natural Family Month, Father's Day. Mother's Day's first, right?
Mother's Day. Then.
Mother's Day to Father's Day, and try to create a grassroots movement on that. So got that in the links there for you. Jump in there and take a peek at that thing. Let me see where I am. I'm trying to find. I know you can see me. I'm trying to work on my computer here to get the right picture up, because I normally have a couple different screens I'm working on. Does this work if I go back here? Does that do it? That doesn't do it. You guys see me? Somebody save me. Somebody got their hand. There it is. There it is. There it is. There. All right. I can't see my windows and all that. Ray LeBlanc, come on in here. You say, Coach, I don't have anything to say. Yes, you do. Come on in.
Yeah. Last Saturday or Friday was Good Friday. A friend of ours, he's got a big church here in Wisconsin, in Arpin. Probably, 500 people attended. One of these, a lot of show and music and... Anyways, their son Connor, he was 24, committed suicide.
Oh, man.
And, you wouldn't believe the people that showed up at that funeral Saturday. It was 1,000 of them. And the question that the pastor, of course, he was grieved and everything, but He said there's some false doctrine out there that if you commit suicide, you're not going to make it to heaven. It turned out to be a big divider, a big issue. A lot of people, and he wouldn't even go into detail how he killed himself, only that it was bloody. And I saw the body, and his head was clean. Might have been a shot to the chest, a wound. But the issue that kind of is up there, I was wondering some people's opinion, how they take it. If you commit suicide, considered murder, is that, you know, are you going to murder yourself and then just Jesus says, well, welcome in? Or are you saying, sorry, you're not going to make it? So that's an issue that not talked about very much, but I'm interested in opinions on it because I'm kind of torn between two avenues on that. I don't know if anybody else wanted to discuss that or not.
Okay, well, let me give you a kind of a my opinion on this. And that's really a deep question, Ray, and I don't have a theological basis for it, right? That's all not murder. We understand that. It would seem to me that somebody who commits suicide is not in their right mind. Wouldn't most of you agree with that? Whether it be through grief, whatever it would be, you're not in your right mind. And
heavy depression.
David Arvid just typed in, he said it's demons. Maybe demons are forcing you to do that, right? And so I'm not one to give anybody in the false hope and say, well, you know, he received Jesus when he was 3 years old or 5 years old or at youth camp when he was 13. And, well, you shall know them by their fruit, right? So what do you think, Dale? Suicide.
I think you're right. Not only are not in the right mind, my wife, you know, we talked a lot last night. You know, she's trained throughout the hospital. She works the psych geriatrics. You know, it's a mental, there's something mentally not right there, not a balance, schizophrenias and stuff like that. You know, there's scriptures that can go both ways, to be honest with you, Ray. It's the same thing as the eschatology, you know, pre, post, mid, you know, everybody has an ideology of what they think it is, but, you know, till he comes back, then we'll find out exactly how it is. And so those things too, it's a sad thing. That's all I know, because it hurts the whole family. It hurts the whole community.
Well, the reality of it is, excuse me, none of us really want to face the reality that someone we love isn't saved. And we love to say, you remember when he went to youth group back when he was 12 and he said that prayer? And but you know, the reality of it is he's lived like hell ever since. The Bible says you shall know them by their fruit, the once saved, always saved thing. I don't know. But I think, again, it comes back to a lot of demonic activity that's going on. What could make you so miserable, so sad, excuse me, that you would take your own life? So I don't know. I'm not an expert on that. Can't give you any great advice on that.
Yeah, amen.
I really don't know, man.
I just thought it'd be an issue that should be brought up because it's probably going to happen more and more. And you know, I'm just curious as to other people's opinions on it and what the Bible had to say about it. And you know, I know he was very depressed, had a lot of depression, and like I said, demons upon you, and you're not in your right mind. You know, can you be held accountable like a person that's mentally just not, doesn't have the mental faculties of a 3 year old or what? And they die or did something like that. You know, they haven't even reached the age of accountability. So maybe that steals your accountability away from, I don't know, but interesting. So thanks.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's, I try to take common sense, right? So you look at your own children, and let's say as happens to a lot of us, we know this, right? That there is a lot of discord in the family. Some of you not even talking to your, you know, we talked about that the other day. Well, you think about that from a Christian perspective. No matter how bad your children behave, they never stop becoming your children. They never, right? And you pray for them, you weep over them, they're lost, yada yada. They never stop being your children. So you have to ask yourselves, you know them by their fruit. Can you be a Christian and not be one? Could you have walked an aisle, said a prayer, and served the Lord for 3 or 4 years or whatever, and then fallen back? Could you have done that? Once saved, always saved? Man, that's a tough one, isn't it? But I use the illustration, my children are my children no matter what they do. No matter what they do, they're my children, right? And if I have that kind of compassion in my own heart for my own children, and you're a child of God, you've received Christ as your Savior at some point, I don't think it's a license to sin, but I'm still his kid, man. Still his kid. I don't know how we got on this discussion, but anybody got a comment on that? What do you think about it? The once saved, always saved. And you fall? Can you lose your salvation? Because I don't care who you are, folks. Listen to me. You can get in the scriptures and you can find both sides. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
You can find both sides of it in the scriptures. That's what makes theology so hard for us to understand. Mark Trump, come on in, Mark. Morning.
Morning. I think the idea here is to not let it be divisive when you are deciding, because that's the root of the division, is if you can look at it as something that God knows, and I kind of like a child, I wonder how that works, and never let yourself be a God over this issue. Mm-hmm. Now, it's tough. I think, personally, there's a high threshold. And I think if murder, you can just murder yourself and murder others because you're saved before, you know, you're going to make it to heaven. That's a pretty low threshold, Coach.
It sure is. It sure is.
I mean, if that's allowed, look at all of these child molesters that got into Congress, but they were saved before.
Oh, my goodness. They were saved.
Yeah. Oh, so all of them get to pass through because, oh, they used to be saved too.
Yeah.
Were they saved is the question. They were saved by the church. They went up to the altar over and over and over and over. After Jesus forgave them, past, present, and future, they keep going to the altar as if he didn't forgive them last time they went to the altar.
Right.
Over and over and over, they repeat these traditions. So were they saved? Or did they have the bread of life and then make it to Congress and then do all these evil things and then make it to heaven because they said the words? The five foolish virgins, they showed up. But were they saved? Did they believe? They were there, but did they believe? They came to see if he was there. Then they believed. Then it was too late. That's what I think.
Well, that's sort of, again, at the White Throne Judgment, right? They're everybody's there. If I read the right White Throne Judgment, everybody's there. And the Bible says that they're judged out of the things that are written in the books.
Yeah.
And then there's another book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are the dialogues that break up churches.
And
these
families.
Are some of the, they are, they really, yeah. really are, Coach.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you're putting them on the table.
Yeah. Well, it you know, that stuff is real. And again, let me finish. Is it Revelation 21? You said the great white throne judgment. You stand there and everybody's there, the way I understand it. But everybody's there. And everybody, all of us going to stand before the Lord and give an account for all of our deeds done in the flesh. You know, we like to talk about the fact that, okay, scroll on down there. Scroll on down, Spencer. Let me read this for those. Keep going, man. But the fearful number, got me. Anyway, there. Maybe it's not Revelation 21. Do you know where it is, Dale?
What's that?
Where the great white throne judgment is.
Revelation
21, I thought. And the books were open, right? This is talking about heaven, what heaven's going to be like. But the books are open. And the Bible says that those who are standing before him were judged out of those things written in the books. Written in the books. The great multitude, that's not 21, 2011. There it was. There it is. We were in the right place. Yeah, there you go.
Yep,
start 11.
Through 15.
And that's all great white throne. And him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and I found no place for them. I was in the Catholic Church for, I didn't even know there was a book of Revelation, really. And I certainly didn't know this. And I saw the dead, small and great. What's that mean? Stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened. How many books do we have here? The books were opened and another book. So evidently we have the books of life, books. another book which was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. So you're all going to stand before the Lord. Everybody's going to be watching. We're going to stand before the Lord. And all of a sudden, up on the screen comes the record of your life, the books. Boom. By books, it's like record keeping, right? It's not literally a book. It's a, you keep your books. So it's thrown up on there for everybody to see. And everybody sees what, whoa. And it says that I saw dead and great stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, it's the Book of Life, and they were judged out of those things which were written in the book. And then the sea gave up the dead, and the death and hell delivered up the dead. Which, see, this theology so gets me. Look at this. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. That's a great. Oh, are there people in hell right now? Says here there are, right? And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were all judged, every man, according to their works. So at some point, if I get this right, hell's emptied, heaven's emptied, and everybody's standing there for this great judgment at the end of it. And whoever's was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Which is, what's the Bible say? Going down the second death. Which is the second death. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire.
Hey, look at 13. Look at 13 again, Coach. Yeah. It's two sections. The sea gave up the dead, and death and hell gave up the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a dead in the sea, you're not in death and hell?
What is that? What is that?
What? There's two groups of dead. Dead in the sea and dead in death and hell.
Oh,
so goodness. If you're in the sea, you're alive. Could the sea be paradise?
Hmm. Amazing. Craig, what do you think?
Well, I thought about this here, Coach, for a while, and I heard someone explain it that made sense to me. So Coach, you and Michelle get in the worst fight of your marriage. You get in your little green machine, and your anger carries you down some of those little back roads, and you hit the big tree. Does your life, is Christ going to evaluate you over your last 30 minutes?
Boy, hope not.
Okay, because when we stand
in Christ. But Craig, he might if you say a salvation prayer during the last 30 seconds you get in, don't you?
Well, I think it has to do a little bit more with denying who Christ is. Not okay. That you're affected by the ills of this world.
Right.
And that, you know, when we stand in front of Christ, we're standing in front of justice, righteousness, and mercy. There's nothing that we did to gain salvation. What we've done with our salvation, that will be the evaluation of the rewards. Mm-hmm. Jesus said he comes with his rewards, okay? His rewards are for those who have acknowledged him, okay? So whoever this young man was, and whatever things that he went through in his life and what he's grown up with, to sit here from a yard's view away and look at it and say, wow, you know, has he lost his salvation and stuff like that? That's a mighty thing for us to sit there and do.
Well, Craig, what about the whole idea that the Bible says broad is the way, narrow is the gate. Many come, few find it. In much of Christianity, we talk about the whoever will, and it is a whoever will, but it's not whoever gets in, right? It's not about all that. And what would be if I'm saved inside out, my toenails, everything. I'm a saved man. If I go out and murder somebody tonight, is that under the blood?
No, that's not that. Okay, I'm talking about committing sin. We're talking about someone who takes their life. Have they lost?
No, but I get that. But I'm trying to mix the two together, though, Craig.
Okay, well, you're held accountable if you intentionally murder someone,
right?
Okay, without cause and just, well, then you've shed innocent blood, and the Bible talks a lot about people who've shed innocent blood.
Yeah, but Craig, I'm saved.
Okay, well, then the question
that's
is
the debate. That's the debate, right? Is being saved a license to sin? Is everything under the blood?
Well, if you did that and you repented from it, then you could. I mean, Paul repented over standing over Stephen and giving his authority.
This is deep, man. Vinny, what do you think, Vinny?
Well, one more thing, Coach, okay?
Yep.
And what David's point was, what that man did do, if he had salvation, he took away his ability to serve the Lord. And, you know, and the other thing is there are a lot of demons that will walk in there and say, your life's not worth it. You've been a piece of crap. You never made anything. They speak into your mind. And if you don't have the mind of Christ and the scriptures to do it, those are not voices of God. Those are voices of the demons. And a lot of people, that's the last thing that they had going running through their mind. And they took that gun and they pulled that trigger. That was not the voice of God speaking to them.
So are they saved?
I don't know. I don't know this gentleman enough to make a decision. If he believed that Christ was risen from the dead and he asked him into his heart, and then he had a lot of contradictions in his whole life and struggles that I never had, that's a high thing for someone outside of Christ. I know one thing, when I stand in front of Christ, I'm going to be looking for that mercy part. I know he's righteous and I know he's just. But I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to plead on your mercy for what I said, for I'd done.
What do you think, Vinny?
Well, I'll tell you this, Coach. If there's any lesson to be learned from the Bible, it's that it's a book of conditions. All right there. I didn't look this up. I just thought of it, and I didn't want to lose my train of thought. But if you look in the Bible, how many instances are there of the word if?
Hmm.
That denotes that a choice, a decision must be made. So
if you do this, you get this, right?
That's correct. And if you don't do, then you don't, right? Or just like, you know, the book of Acts. It's not the book of things. Amen.
Yeah, this gets so deep because we all know of some people who just lost their mind, didn't they? I mean, they just lost their mind in an instance of anger or whatever it would be, grief. Man, this deep. This is deep. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What do you think, Michelle?
Hey, good morning, team. Yeah, this is a big topic when it comes to suicide. This is what I think, Coach. I think that I'm really glad I don't have to judge people's hearts, because we're not good at that. That's why we're not out there pulling up tears and trying to figure out who the weeds are and who's the wheat. Okay. Yeah. That's not our job. We don't know what people have been through. We don't know their heart. And I think probably everybody listening has known someone who has committed suicide. It is a part of the human experience. And I think a lot of us may get to that point because of deception. We're deceived. We're lied to from the beginning. And I think our Creator does not look for reasons to keep us away from Him. He looks for reasons to bring us into the fold.
Good point.
And there is, and this is my own thought when it, you know, Revelation, I know, I like the Bible to discern the Bible. So whatever the Bible is, there's something that says this and something that says this. I really want to figure out what the Bible says about it, not what we say about it. But this is kind of something that I've come to. So this is just Rochelle. There is a time at the end where there's a little season where souls who have not been tested appropriately get a chance to be tested. And in my own mind, I think this is where maybe if you've been an aborted soul, maybe you'll get your time in the millennial reign. If you were murdered before your time, whatever. I think everybody gets a chance to prove themselves. And if you've lived a life that was so bad you thought ending it was the only answer, I think God is going to want to give you another chance, or at least to read into your heart. God loves us. He doesn't want us to be so bad that we think we're only worthy of death. And I had an aunt who committed suicide, and it was because there were demons in her closet she never dealt with. She had an abortion when she was younger, and it tore her up. It ate her up from the inside out, and eventually it won. Are you going to say that a loving God is going to send someone to hell because they felt so much guilt, they took their own life? It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. But also, he's just, right? He's righteous.
Oh, he's just, but you have to remember, in order for him to have mercy, he sent his son to die for those sins. It's already been paid for.
I'm with you. I just see both sides. What's Pastor Dale see?
So I raised my hand, too. I just want to let you know, so you're kind of smart. First off, I think you all have graciously handled with these answers on this thing. And as a pastor, having done many funerals and some of them a suicide, it, you know, one of the things, and the Lord dealt with me on this because Coach is right. Everybody does, when you do a funeral, nobody believes that that person's going to hell. Everybody wants to know that that person is going to heaven. Well, here's the thing, and you've all answered it. We're not the judge. We really don't know. It could even be a person who had good works. He was a pastor. You don't know. You really don't know. And so I've always used this analogy, and I said, I don't know whether this person is in heaven, whether this person's in hell, but what I do know is this: if that voice can come back from the grave, it would tell you to bend your knee and surrender to Jesus, because those people that are in front of you, those are the ones that you can minister to at that very time. And so, you know, suicide and all of those other things, you know, there's a difference between falling in sin and willful sin, right? Romans 6 says, what shall we say? Shall we continue on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have dead to sin. How can we live in it? But suicide is not that type of thing. Once again, it's like the eschatology. There is no absolute answers in the Bible. Did this man take a innocent life? Yeah, it looks like it, you know, but you know, what I do read in the book of Revelation that we have to be careful as Christians. This is one of the things that I do read. It says, he who practices sin, let him continue practicing sin. But he who practices righteousness, let him continue to practice righteousness. And that's for us. So for the people that is at the funeral home, it's to them. Listen, all I know is that person would come back and tell you, surrender under Jesus this day. Make him your king and make him your Lord.
Man, oh man, it's good. It's good. We just stumbled on this one for sure. Because we don't. Let me tell you this real quick. It gets in there, Gino. A problem. Promise. I won't mention his name, but 10 years ago, one of the best buddies I had. He was a coach, Dave Leiber. We went together. We did stuff. Yada yada yada. He so loved the Lord. I'm just telling you, he so loved the Lord. And one night he went out to the bar, and I don't know what happened at the bar. He got in a fight at the bar, and why he was at the bar, who knows, right? He loved Jesus. I knew he loved Jesus. He's at the bar, gets in a fight with some guy. They throw him out of the bar. When he gets thrown out of the bar, he hears the police car siren gone, pulls out a gun, kills himself. I can't believe that that guy isn't with the Lord. I just all of his life for that one moment, whether it be demons, whatever it was that got it. I don't know. Gino, come on in. What do you think?
I was just going to say, I'm glad God is the judge, not me.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, when does the book of life get opened?
The Great White Throne Judgment.
I don't believe anybody's in heaven or in hell right now. God's got that special place where he's divided the two.
Well, it's very, I'm with you, Gene, because it's very clear in what we just read there that everybody's there. The great, they're all there, right? They're all there.
They're all there. And nobody's going to hell until the great judgment has been completed. Right. And the only one that is actually said that's going to hell is devil himself, because he's the one that's not going to be forgiven. and anybody else can be forgiven. And we don't know what happened right before they died or even killed themselves and what state of mind they were
in. That's right. Because
I know a great Sunday school lady. She taught Sunday school and she knew the Lord. But she went out and took buckets of rocks and walked out into the water and drowned because of the state of mind she was in at that time.
That's it, isn't it? The state of mind. Take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into obedience and captivity to the obedience of Christ. So are we responsible? Are we held accountable for responding to the works of the devil? Demons, influences that just overcome our own ability to say no. I don't know, man. Hey, who am I to judge, as they would say, right? But I can read. I can sure read. It says the great, and it's up on the screen right now. I see the grave gave up, or the sea gave up its dead. Death and hell delivered up the dead which are in them. Wait a minute. Whoa. Evidently, somebody's in hell and heaven right now. Isn't that what it says? No. Hell delivered up the dead which were in them. See, that would be obvious because those people would have never accepted Christ. That's why they're in hell, right? But they, I don't know. I'm getting all over the place here. Kevin, come on in.
That kind of goes into what we studied this weekend down at Chad's. You know, wide is the way and narrow is the gate. Mm-hmm. And then if you look at Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, view the mercies of God. I urge you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And then verse 2, do not be conformed to this world or this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you temporarily lose your mind, do you temporarily lose your salvation? Do you temporarily lose your grace?
See, that he's the perfect balance of judgment and grace, judgment and mercy. Most of us aren't there. Most of us, you know, again, it's all has to do with perspective, right? If somebody, a friend of mine, did something to one of Dale Socha's children, be easy for me to forgive him, right? Didn't happen to my child, as opposed to saying to Dale, well, Dale, you got to forgive him. Well, right? That's perspective, man. It's all, I don't know.
And then there's a difference of somebody that temporarily loses their mind, they pick up that gun and they pull the trigger, or did they temporarily lose their mind and grab a bottle and for a decade get lost?
Yeah. Never got out of it. Well, I know this.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Kevin. Go ahead.
My youngest brother, for a decade, when my father died in 2014, for a decade, he's been a wasted, terrible drunk with just glimpses of who he was. I just found out this weekend he's at my mother's. 2 months, he's clean. He hasn't had a drink for 2 months.
Oh, praise the Lord.
And it just, you look at him and he's 7 years younger than me. He looks like he's 10, 15 years older than me. But you know what? Because I asked him, I said, hey, how long has it been since you had a drink? He said, it's been over 2 months. And I said, so when did you go through the DTs? And he said, about 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. He said, I said, so you woke up every day and you were shaking and you go and everything like that. And he goes, yeah. I said, how you feel now? He said, I feel pretty good. But you know what? How much life does he have left? Mm. I'm talking bottles of this, of whiskey and vodka and Everclear, you know, all of it.
Kevin, for some people it's pornography. For some people it's a control at work. I mean, we all have these demons that we fight and it manifests itself in different ways. You know, we can see alcoholism, but rather we can't see some of the torment other people are dealing with, especially in secret, right? At least we look at a guy who's a drunk and say, ah, he's a drunk. He's got to quit drinking. But what about if you look at somebody who's tormented by fear, whatever it was, what do you say to them? Ah, he's got to get sober. What do you say, right? Because if we really believe in demonic oppression as opposed to demonic possession, those two things, how does the Lord factor in on all that stuff? Man, I don't know, man. Let me move on. What do you think, Trump?
Well, I just want to bring up the temptation that Jesus went through. And we all point to that because he's the only one that could have done it. But what if he hadn't? What if he hadn't, Coach? What if he'd have fallen subject to sin in those 40 days?
Wow, we'd be screwed.
Well, take it to the cross. God requires a blemish-free sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So if he had sinned and not made it, he wouldn't have been clean, Coach.
Right.
There would be no grace for us. So the whole point of this idea is that Jesus had to go through it because he could have fallen. What if he'd have fallen? There would have been no sacrifice. His whole fleshly, what would have happened? No one knows.
Mm.
Would he have returned to heaven? Or would he have been like maybe another close person to God at some point? Say, he would have been another fallen being. But praise Jesus, he didn't fall. Y'all are on the cusp of this salvation issue. It all goes to him and his sin-free sacrifice he made. Actually, he didn't commit suicide, did he, Coach?
No, he didn't.
They killed him.
Yeah.
And he, you know, no matter what, he didn't sin. Now, I don't know about the books, but if you keep reading, it's going to talk about the people not written in the book of life or thrown into the lake of fire. They were never in it. Who are they, Coach?
Hmm.
And then there's some that are blotted out.
Right.
They were in it. Jesus knew them because he wrote them in there.
That's right.
But he blotted them out. So there's three groups of people. The ones that are cast in the lake of fire, not written, the ones blotted out, and the ones not blotted out. Now, that's who we are. It's those three groups of people.
Amen.
Unless you're of the belief that we aren't in the book of life, that's some other group of people. You know, some people believe that way, maybe. Right?
Yeah.
So, good stuff. Lots of good stuff, Coach.
It is good stuff because they're stacked up and want to get in here. So that tells me we've hit something here. Joe Allen, Joe, and then Angie. Joe and then Angie, go. Go.
We're a nation of laws. We're also a nation of war.
Mm-hmm.
We've been at war for the past 20 years. We fought overseas. We got men and women dying or taking themselves out. 24 a day.
Yeah.
Not one, 24.
Suicide from former vets.
So, if you see what's going on in one person's mind, you can fix it just like an automobile. You can't see it.
Yeah.
Unless they express it.
Amen.
No sense.
Mercy and grace is, we don't understand it, right? We don't understand. I'm telling you, don't ask me for the answer. I don't know. Angie, what do you think?
Mark Trump gave us something to think about with those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life and then they're blotted out. That does sort of give a hint to not a once saved, always saved theology right there.
Yeah, because Jesus himself said, I will not blot your name out. That's right. Boom.
Right. It kind of makes you wonder. But when my mom, God bless her, when my mom was dying in the last 24 hours of her death, we had a very sweet guy come to her house. He was a pastor. She had just started going to this church, and it was kind of a Mennonite/charismatic church. You can believe that. It's kind of odd, but, you know, he sat at her bedside, and he just cried because he had just kind of met her. She had just started going there, and he said, you know, I just don't understand. You're so young and all this other stuff, and, you know, when my mom couldn't speak, when she was literally in that kind of unconscious passing there, I prayed. I was like, Lord, because I didn't know what her salvation was. I did not know what my mother's status was, salvation. My mom spent years in the New Age occult. Like, she spent years. She had so much crap attached to her for so many years. But when she was in that unconscious state that passes between life and death, I prayed that God would send the Holy Spirit to minister to her spirit and give her an opportunity to accept him. Mm. And that's the best I could do. Because at that point, I think it was Dale that was saying, we don't really ever know where they're going because, you know, you don't know what their heart was. And you that's don't right. know, you know, where they, how right they were with the Lord. Because my mom did really good things, but my mom also did some pretty bad things. I mean, yeah. you know, she was human. She like did all the, like the rest of us. But it was really hard. You know, because she was such a chameleon, you just could not really tell where her heart was.
Well, Angie, despite what they try to tell us in church, works must matter or they wouldn't be written down in that book. Wouldn't you think?
That is correct. I mean, yeah, they keep track of that. Yeah, absolutely.
You don't earn your way into heaven. It's by grace, but works matter. Are those right. crowns that we throw at his feet? I don't know.
Well, they're the evidence of what we are. You know what I mean? I'm not getting there because I obey the commands of God. I obey the commands of God because I'm going there. I want to do these things. You know what I mean? It's the evidence.
That's what Dale just said over here. Saved unto good works, right? You get saved and you want to do good things.
Correct.
That's the way it's supposed to work. Thanks, Ange. Dave Allison.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Difficult topic for sure. Yeah, I understand it is, man. I agree. There's a lot of unknowns about this topic for sure. I want to start with that. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. One thing I do stray away from saying that it does something doesn't make sense. And, you know, because a lot of things in the Bible don't make sense, right? To us, right. in our human knowledge, we can't make any sense of it. But yet I know that that's God's word. So I don't try to make sense of God's word because of what it says. Because his thoughts and his ways are higher than mine. And that's why the scripture that recorded the people who stood before the Lord and say, Lord, didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do all these things in your name? And he says, depart from me. So that shows me right there that, you know, there's a separation and there's accountability. And I appreciate what someone says, and we all do this. When a loved one passes and we're not sure where they stood before the Lord, we always try to, well, I think there's a way, somehow, some way. But when the most vile person you know dies, you're quick to say, well, they finally got what they got coming.
That's right. That's right. You
know? So, but our faith is counted unto us as righteousness, as Tim Tucker has taught us, you know. And I guess that's why I can't judge someone when they die, whether it be so they get murdered or they murder themselves or whatever. I'm telling you, that's up to God. And
okay, so Dave, so just as you're talking there, Dave, the Holy Spirit said to me, extenuating circumstances. Now we all know what that means, right? So I heard him say that. I thought, what, extenuating circumstances? Have you guys ever been in a situation where you were angry at somebody that they did something to you or whatever, and you held a grudge with them for however long, and all of a sudden something happens that you guys are face-to-face, and you have an opportunity to be reconciled, and the person says something to you, you know, you did this to me in a really, really bad, and you want to say, man, I didn't know that. That wasn't my intention. Does the Lord have that mercy as well? Does he understand that we didn't really mean for that to happen? Yeah, we were out of line. Yeah, we can't march perfectly every step in the extenuating circumstances. So look, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have been mad at you if I'd understood what the perspective you were coming from. And so we have to understand that, praise God, God isn't us. And he has a greater understanding of us than what we realize. And it's not just always legalism. You did this, you're condemned. It's just, I just don't believe it's always that way, right? That he sees and he understands the situation that you're in. Just like some of you right now are dealing with family members who won't forgive you. And you don't even know why. You don't even know why. What did I do? And if the two of you could ever be reconciled, well, you got a chance to sit down across the table and say, this is what I thought. Oh, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? And have that chance to be reconciled. Man, we could sure use that, wouldn't we? If we weren't so legalistic, I'm right, you're wrong, and be able to show a little bit of grace and mercy.
Cool. Yeah. Amen. Coach, one last thing I want to say, and amen to that, what you just shared. But So someone that commits suicide stands before the Lord, and the Lord says, wait a minute, I made a sacrifice. You have seen the sacrifice that I made.
Yeah.
That you didn't have to commit suicide. You could have been freed from that, but you chose not to. And so I'm just playing the hard, think of if what makes sense, why wouldn't this make sense when that person stands before the Lord and says, you found your life was of no value on earth. Why would you think you find your life of any value here in heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that makes sense. So I'm just saying, but that's, I'm not saying, but I'm just trying to play this.
Dave, here's the thing, as we all know this, those of us who are parents, we would forgive our children no matter what. We love them. We want to be in right relationship with them. And I think that God's our Father, and I think he has that type of attitudes towards us as well. Although he doesn't wink and nod at sin, he understands extenuating circumstances. That's kind of cheap grace, but that's kind of the way I see it. What do you think, Jeff Nares?
Well, what you were saying earlier, you know, hate is murder in the heart.
Right.
And so, you know, God looks at that as well. But I wanted to throw another angle in there because I thought of this before. Like, let's say, I'm just giving throwing a crazy scenario out. You know, Hamas or some evil entity is coming to your neighborhood. They're in your yard. They're coming in your house. You know they're going to rape. You don't have enough firepower to defend yourself. You're going to rape and they're going to murder your wife, yes, your daughter, or whatever. Do you shoot your own family first as an act of mercy and love, or how is that looked at? Just another angle.
Well, if we have hope in this world only, we're all men most miserable, and that's what it says. Amen. James Thomas, wow. Come on, James.
Yeah, good message from everybody. It's really, you know, John the Baptist, when he was preaching Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. When Jesus talked to Nicodemus about being born again, God is a spirit, we're a spirit, soul, and body. It's the spirit man that the Father draws. Jesus, no man can come to the Father except he's drawn.
That's right.
So those who are drawn are, you know, there's no possible way ever, because he forever forgave your sin and my sin, my past sin, my present sin, and my future sin. It was covered for what he did. Spoke very plainly about this in Hebrews. But you go back, you know, the flesh is what we look at. Oh, man, he committed. So you have to be in the flesh to pull the trigger to kill yourself. It's just the way it is.
Amen.
So the flesh has to be crucified. It's the least, it is a nasty, the flesh is the nasty thing. It would have wants to be gratified at even up to the point of death. nastiness of the flesh.
The truth of the matter is, James, a lot of sins are committed when you're not in your right mind, right? If you were in your right mind, you weren't angry, you weren't depressed, you weren't distressed, you wouldn't have done that, right? So, man, he wasn't even in his right mind when he did that.
Absolutely. So your mind, you know, as far as on your mind has to be renewed, as a brother said earlier. So you renew your mind, your soul. And so your spirit, man, when you die, when we die as believers, we stand before the bema seat of Christ. That's our judgment.
That's right.
We're not sitting here waiting for the great white throne judgment. We're going to be there judging with Jesus.
That's right. I'm going to work while the sun shines, because the day cometh when no man can work. Thanks, James. I got to do this real quick. Look at that.
Morning, everybody. Morning, Michelle.
Morning, Michelle.
Look, you guys, as you're looking at that pretty little girl, how long have we been married?
44 years.
44 years. You know, I just want to thank Dale and Michelle and their family so much, because until we came down here for just two and a half days, and Socias has just served us up one side and down the other, I saw in my wife a peace that she doesn't always have, because she's always serving. Yeah, anybody out there know what I'm talking about? She's wiping some grandkids' butt. She's mopping the floor. She's cooking a meal. She's babysitting. She's running air. And I realized in these last two and a half days, that daggone, that this girl just needed to be able to get away, catch a breath, eat a crawl dad, and just relax. So, you know, we thank the socials for giving us that opportunity.
So I'm going to jump in here. Listen, he's got pictures of them going and eating snowballs last night too, and beignets. So there's.
Oh yeah, we both got fat.
The best part was eating the food: beignets, chicory coffee.
You know, my heart is to you all, Coach. To tell you that I built a missionary house that's attached to my house. So when people come in to speak at my church, I don't put them in hotels. But that's what it is. It's kind of like an Airbnb. It's very nice. It's a nice setup there. It has his own kitchen.
Connected right to his house.
You come down the stairs right into my kitchen. And so if you want to just unplug, get away, look, all you got to do is call me. We would love to have you. This is in my DNA, my church. We love to serve. So I'm just petitioning anybody who says, you know what, we just need to unplug, get away. This is in our heart. We love to serve people. So come on down.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So Michelle, go ahead, Matt. Just tell them why it's been so refreshing for you.
Well, the best part is when I get up, I had my coffee made. just the little things that really matter. It's just been a good break, like you said, and just been able to sit and relax and enjoy the best company ever. And the heat, I love it. The humidity, it's great. But but he says, come on down. A wonderful place to visit, and that we could do this.
I love that little girl. So look, So I forgot to say this. Two things I got to say real quick. I'm going to forget. I got to say this real quickly. Number one, don't forget the annual. Don't forget the Sky High, June 14th, is it? Friends, just some of you folks out there, you need to get away, man. You need to get away. And we'll try to make it as not entertaining is not the right word, but as relaxing as possible. We don't want it to be stressful for you. But we'd love for you to come. I can't tell you what the fellowship that I've had the last 2 days with Dale Socha, what it has done for me. Just not worrying about everything else, just going out and eating beignets and doing all that, what that has done. And many of you need that. You need the fellowship, getting along together with the saints who really, truly care about you, not going to pass judgment on you, just going to be able to relax and hang out and laugh and have fun. So it's really been important and valuable for us from that standpoint. So we'd love for you to be able to come. We'll get more information out there about the annual. And then I've been forgetting. Spencer, I sent you real quickly, Claudine Burnham. I sent you an email. See if you can find that. Claudine, one of our Coach Dave Livers, she is a, what is your role? I don't know if Claudine, if you're listening out there, she is the, look at this, folks. Yeah, you know, you had it. There it is.
Yeah.
She is. This her report card in the New Hampshire Congress, they do a report card of the rhinos. She was a number one non-rhino in all of New Hampshire. This is unbelievable. So you get on there and you click on that and you find out that somebody did a rating of who's a really good Republican, who's not a really good Republican. There it is. Scroll clear on down and you see the number over the side here. It gives you the number. Here's their rating. There's their scale. And you're going to go clear to the bottom. And Claudine, one of our good old Coach Dave Livers, an elected representative in New Hampshire, is number one non-rhino. Could you see her down there, Claudine Burnham? I can't really see. My screen's small. Zero. Her rhino rating is zero. Go ahead, Claudine. What's that all about?
Hey, Coach. Yeah, so that's Granite Rock rates Republicans and whether they're true conservative, liberty Republicans. And it's the first time that I'm really proud to be a zero.
She's a zero.
You know, and it is, I go in there, you know, I call it the snake pit because it's really quite evil. I really thank God for giving me the answers and the strength to do what's best for the people mm-hmm. and humanity. And so if I get a little reward on that, then I'm blessed and I'm thankful. So
well, we pat you on the back, Claudine. Thank you. Thank you for fighting the good fight there for sure. Amen. Folks, gotta run. I'm not gonna hang on long here after the show because we've got to get to the airport. God bless you. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't real prepared this morning. Tried to get prepared, but it is what it is. And you guys picked it up and we ran with it pretty well. Once saved, always saved. Really? Really? What does that even mean? If you're saved, why would you want to be unsaved? Demonic influences? See you tomorrow. God bless you.
Amen.